1 Corinthians chapter 3, and picking up on this judgment here, and we had talked about how the judgment seat of Christ is something that we should look to every time you get up in the morning. You ought to realize it'll help you if you keep one eye on the judgment. Because so many people forget that one of these days that you'll stand before God there, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you have to give an account. And knowing that, we ought to study what the Bible says about it and how we can prepare. And that way we can have some things to throw at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. I'd like to see every one of y'all have some rewards there you'd be able to throw at the Lord's feet. Amen. But the thing is, we had talked about how in verse 13 it said every man's work should be made manifest. And then, you know, according to, you don't have to turn there, but just to go over, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, speaks of people being the work. And then we went over that gold, silver, and precious stones and what that means according to the Bible, and gold being deity, and silver being the price of redemption, and precious stones having to do with the people there in the Bible, and then wood, hay, and stubble. Guess what? That's all surface material. It's all flammable. Anything you do for the flesh, anytime you serve the old man, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's all flammable, and it all burn up. And he said every man's work should be manifest for the day. That's that the day of the Lord, the day we're there anyway with the Lord, is going to manifest it. But also the day Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness. So when you're in front of him one day, it's going to declare what sort it was. It's going to be revealed by fire. Now, I want to show you some things about fire. We're going to go through a trail of verses here. I want to show you something here. And maybe appreciate your Bible a little bit more. Look at Revelation chapter 1. I'll write these down for you as we go. Revelation 1 verse 14. And we're going to look at this thing on this fire. And while you're turning there, it says revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So there's going to be a fire there, and it's going to be able to determine what sort. And I like that little word sort. You know, we'll sort clothes. We'll determine whether it's a sock or whether it's, we throw it in different bins there. I don't know if y'all do that in the laundry room, and we kind of sort them out. And so he's going to determine whether it is something that you did because you love the Lord Jesus, or you just did it with a selfish motive. And so it's going to determine it. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 1:14, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state, it said his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Hey. All right, now that thing said, that verse said it was going to be revealed by the fire. Now, you see in Revelation 1:14 that his eyes, that's a bad W, eyes were as fire. Now turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we're going to look at some things about this fire here. And I'll show you how it ties into judgment and how we can prepare ourselves for judgment in a simple way. You know what I love about the Lord? The Lord makes things simple. Moses said, you know, over there in the Old Testament, he said, now who am I going to tell that sent me? The Lord didn't give him no complex sentence or anything else. He said, you just tell him I am sent you. That's simple enough, isn't it? I am. He keeps things simple for us. You know why? Because he knows we have a tendency to complicate things.
That's right.
You know what's wrong with one thing wrong with the world today? Everybody's got stuff so complicated.
Amazing.
We've got all this time saving stuff, and I just marvel at all the cell phones, the computers we got, and we got email, and we got all this stuff. And supposedly people are supposed to have more time. People got less time they ever have. Back 50 years ago, 90 years ago, and things like that, when people had to plant their own food and get all their own, they didn't have refrigerators and they had to go down there to the stream to get the water. People had more time then than they do now. Why? Because we complicated life is what we've done.
Yeah, right.
The Lord has simplified it for you, and I'm going to show you how simple it is. John chapter number 12, verse number 48, is going to tell you something interesting here, and it'll tie together. The Lord Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. says, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
That's right.
All right, so you got a thing there where John says that the word is going to be your judge. Now, do you know that Scripture has got living characteristics to it? The Bible tells you the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In verse 13, the antecedent is the Word of God. When verse 13 says, and there is no creature that is not manifest in His sight, the antecedent to His is the Word of God. You know what the Bible says in Galatians 3:8? It says the Scripture foreseeing that Pharaoh, and talks about Pharaoh, it's given living characteristics to the Scripture. Why? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right, so you're going to have a time one of these days when the Word is going to judge, and some people are going to say, well, I didn't get saved because I didn't know which church to join. Well, he's going to say, well, I didn't say join a church. He said, I'm going to say, the Bible says, he can point to Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he's going to say, the Bible said, you know what it's going to say for the Christian? When at the judgment seat of Christ, the Christian's going to be there. And you know what he's going to say? The Word of God says do this. The Word of God says do the other thing. The Word of God said, and you had the Scripture. Well, I didn't have time to read. Well, you know what? You had time to watch an hour-long television show. Amen. And you know what? Nobody's going to be there that has an excuse for the Lord. And so he makes it simple so we can get it. Now, let me show you something about this fire. Jeremiah 23 with me. Jeremiah 23. And we're going to look at verse 29 and pull this thing together. He said that his eyes were as a flame of fire. You're going to be judged by the fire. The fire is going to manifest it. And the Bible says that it's going to be the words that judge. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that said that. And it's connected with fire. Now let's see if the Word of God's connected with fire. Jeremiah 23. I like how you have to turn pages to find this thing. You know why? He says here a little and there a little. He gives you a little bit here and a little there, and he don't write it like a book like we've got. A human writes a book in a certain way. God don't write his book like humans do. He wants you to get a little here and a little there. Why? So you have to search, and you have to have a relationship with him. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Another thing, too. It prevents a lazy man from getting things. Also, it prevents the lost from getting anything. Yeah. Lost man, you know, people talk about, I just don't like that Bible. Can't understand that Bible. Well, you can't. Well, until you get saved, and even the saved person has a lifelong process of understanding a little here and a little there. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 23:29, watch this. Is not my word like as a fire?
That's right.
Look at that.
Amen.
Like as a fire. So God's words are like a fire. So guess what? You know one way to get your sins judged here? Is to read the Word of God.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Amen.
Why? Because you know what you can do? That word is a mirror. And you get in the mirror of God's Word and you read it a little bit here and a little bit there in the morning and a little bit there in the afternoon maybe. And that Bible will point things out, point flaws out, just like a mirror does in the morning. It'll point flaws out, and the Lord will say, I want you to work on that.
That's right.
He's judging that thing. And if you'll work on it, guess what's happening? That's judging your sins here, and you and your works will be right, so your works won't be burned up over there. Why? He can straighten you out here. You know what the Lord will do? One day I plan on showing y'all this later on in Corinthians. But the Lord's got different ways He deals with people.
Yes.
And you know what He'll do first? Every time He'll give you a verbal rebuke first. You look at the children of Israel, every time. He didn't just go in there and slap His children down. And He don't do us the same way. He's a loving Father. You know what He'd rather do? He'd rather you take the verbal rebuke.
That's right.
He would rather you get in the Word of God, and He would rather you say, you know what, that is, that's wrong right there in my life, and I see the Word of God's right, and I want to get that thing fixed. And you know what happens? The child just keeps nomp, nomp, nomp. He rejected the Word, and the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to speak kind of loud. All right, we don't receive that, and guess what we do? I'm going to have to get the whip out.
That's right.
Why? Because He's a loving Father. And he's gonna chastise those he loves. So you got that fire connected to that thing, and it burns the Word of God. When you're reading this thing right here, the Word of God will burn that sin out of your life. Why? Look, if you get close to that Word of God, the Word of God will get inside of you, and you know what it'll do? It'll change you. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you behave. You get in the book, and the book will get in you.
That's right.
It's like one man said. He said, look, that Word of God, if you get too far up, it'll bring you back down. If you get too far down, it'll bring you back up. If you get too far out, it'll bring you back in. If you get too far in, it'll bring you back out. Amen. There's no other book like the Bible. Amen. It'll do that. Amen. And you know what? Sin will either keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from your sin. Amen. It'll be one of the two. Now, what you have is, a lot of people say, well, I just can't remember what I read. Well, the best thing you can think of, the best analogy I have of that is this. It's like a strainer. You ever washed a strainer? You can take a strainer in a sink, and that strainer is not holding that water. It's not retaining a whole lot of that water. There may be some water on the edges and stuff. But what's happening is that water pouring through that strainer is keeping the strainer clean. That's how it is with us. I don't retain, especially I come through a book like Jeremiah or something, I can't retain most of what I read. But guess what? It's just like that strength. It's keeping me clean. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's a cleansing agent, and you got to expose yourself to it. Now, another thing. You don't have to turn there. I want you to turn to Leviticus 19, and I'll show you something about judgment. And the world has to go by the Bible whether they want to or not. Now, back in Revelation, it said his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. You got a courtroom, and America doesn't do it anymore, but they used to. You know, those judges would get up there and they'd wear a powder wig. They'd wear a white wig. You ever wonder where they got that at? You ever wonder where they get some of these things? You ever wonder why that judge gets up there, and whenever he'll take that hammer and he'll pound that podium with that hammer? The Bible says that the word of God is like a fire, and it says like a hammer in Jeremiah 23:29. It's like a hammer.
That's right.
And when he says something, boom, that's good. All right, now let me show you something here. Talking about this judgment. In Leviticus chapter number 19, you'll see in verse number 32, it says, the context here is judgment. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. What's that? That's that white head there. All right, it says, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Rise up. You know what they say in the courtroom? All rise. And that's something that's biblical. They get that right out of the Bible. You know what that is? That's showing you that judgment there. So you got that hammer and that judgment all right there. And I'm going to tell you something. They get that from the Bible. It's biblical. You're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in a glorified state there, and he is going to be able to sort out what sort of work that you had. Now, you say, well, what kind of questions is he going to ask? Turn to Job chapter 26.
That's right.
Job chapter 26. You got a man trying to judge Job here. And he's given Job some advice. And I think we can learn some things from this question. Now, I can't exactly prove it. I've got some verses I could give you that I believe. But if I had to guess, and a man said, do you got some questions in the Bible that would be asked you? I believe that these questions would be such in Job chapter 26. Now, he's even talking about sinning and things like that. And the previous chapter, and in the previous chapter, in chapter 25, he said, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And he goes on, talks about that. And then in verse 1 of chapter 26, he says something. But Job answered and said, here's your questions. How hast thou helped him that is without power?
Amen.
There's a good judgment question. Have you ever helped anybody that didn't have power to help themselves? You know, you got people nowadays, this selfie generation, man, of people who do not think of others. You know what humility is? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You've got a generation now that says me first and others next. And y'all, you think about having that question right there at judgment. You think about this generation right here having that question. How hast thou helped him that is without power? Have you ever helped somebody that couldn't help themselves? See, that's something there that'll help you right there at the judgment. Why? We're to help others, not knock them down. You know what you've got? You got a generation nowadays that wants to talk about this and what they're professionals in what everybody else is doing, except about what their own self.
Amen.
You know what? That's a good question right there. Are you helping or are you hurting? Look at this. How savest thou the arm that hath no strength?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, as far as somebody that doesn't have any strength, or leading somebody to Christ or something, you know, that's part of saving somebody that has no strength. You lead them to somebody who can.
Yeah.
The gospel is so under promoted nowadays. The average person spends more on dog food than they do on missions.
That's right.
Why? Because most people don't think it's important to get the gospel out. And they say, well, I love this crowd talks about they love everybody. They don't. Why? Because if they love people, they'd be wanting to get the gospel out.
Yeah.
Why? Because everything else is just temporary. The gospel is something eternal. So don't tell me you love everybody if you're not trying to pray for others and get the gospel out. I'm not going to listen to it.
Exactly.
Look at this. Here's verse 3. How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom?
That's right.
Have you ever been trying to be a good counselor to somebody? Man, you imagine that? Ask that right there at the judgment. Y'all, I tell you, that's why we want to give somebody good counsel instead of stuff from our heart. Why? I can tell you something. Somebody asked me a question. You know what? My flesh is going to say something wrong, something bad. That's why we got to point them and say, you know, I really don't know, but I believe the Bible says this. Or the Bible will teach you this. Why? Because, look, our fleshly wisdom is no good.
Exactly.
Point them to the counsel, to the word, or this. If we don't know, you know what? It's good to say sometimes, I don't know. I really don't. Why? Our pride wants to have an answer for everything. There's a lot of things we don't have an answer for.
Exactly.
You just need to say, look, I don't know. We'll pray about it. And I'll ask somebody maybe if they know a verse on it or something. But point them to the Savior and to the biblical counsel. Why? Because otherwise we're just giving our opinion.
Right.
Now he says this. And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing? Now watch this. As it is. You know what people say? I just tell it like it is. Okay. Do you really now?
That's
you know what? Most people just give their own fleshly opinion on things. People don't really tell the thing as it is. Why? Because they're so afraid about what somebody else is going to think. You know what? So many people have got Herod syndrome and Pilate syndrome and things like that. We all fall victim to it. Why? Because we're all flesh and all flesh is grass. And we're so worried about what the crowd thinks. You know, if we're worried about what God thinks, it don't matter what they think anyway. Now, you know what Samuel did? Samuel didn't let any of the words of the Lord fall to the ground. And Job right here, this question in Job, how hast thou declared the thing as it is? Are we more concerned about what God thinks or what man thinks? That's the big thing, right? Why? Because if we get to where we're concerned about what man thinks, we will not declare things as it is. We won't tell it like it. It will compromise. It's going to happen. Now watch this, verse 4. To whom hast thou uttered words?
Uh-huh.
Now I'll stop right there. Who do you talk to? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Who are you talking to? Who you desire to talk to? And here's the part of that question that's real important. And whose spirit came from thee? Do you know whenever you speak, one of three spirits is going to come through your mouth. You got the Holy Spirit, Galatians 3:5. You can speak by the Holy Spirit. What's that? That means if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and you can speak true things. Why? The Lord, the Holy Spirit's not going to guide you to lie.
That's right.
Anytime we tell a lie, we know then that we weren't speaking by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's that simple. So you can speak by that Spirit. You can speak by the Spirit of man. That's 1 Corinthians 2:11. The man has a spirit, and you know what? We've got a man spirit that's always trying to build up man, always trying to seek his own glory. Anytime you're trying to seek your own glory, you know what you'll do? You'll run down somebody else. Anytime that we run down somebody, you know what that is? That's just a long way of saying, I'm better than that fella right there.
That's right.
Anytime we run another guy down or we talk bad about somebody else, we're saying, look at me, I actually got things better in my life than they do. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that's what that's doing, but you know what? That's speaking by man's spirit. Why? Because man always tries to get glory himself and always tries to make himself look good. And the Bible in Galatians calls that vain glory. Why? Vanity. Vanity. It's trying to put others down so you'll look good. And that's that human spirit. Or an unclean spirit. And I got so many references to this, but Matthew 16:23 is one of them. Revelation 16:13 is another one. And what you have is you got an unclean spirit trying to get you to say things you ought not to say. You know what? You don't realize this, but if you will yield your members to an unclean spirit, they'll lead you to lie and talk about folks and run folks down all the time. And you know what's going on? That's going on in the world all the time. Instead of building others up and talking good about others, people run them down. I go in this gas station just about every day, I guess at least 5 days a week, and deliver mail in there. And you know what? It never fails. You got these people sitting there, and they're sitting there at the table, and it never fails. You can't hear it, help but to hear it. They're always in there running somebody down. I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's bad conversation. And you know what goes on? That stuff goes on all the time. You know what? It's hurting them. It's hurting them. Why? Because you know what happens? They get to where that's all they want to do. That's all they want to do is run other folks down. And y'all, that's not how we ought to be. The Bible teaches against that. Now, you can speak by the Lord 1 minute, and the very next minute be speaking by the devil. Simon Peter, he's bragging on the Lord. He said in Matthew 16, the Lord, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I believe you're the Christ. And the Lord said, man, that's right. The Father revealed that to you. 5 verses later, he's rebuking the Lord and said, be it not unto thee, Lord. And the Lord rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. He knew Satan was speaking by him.
That's right.
You know what? You can go from one breath, you can be speaking for the Lord and yield yourself to a false spirit the very next breath. That's why every word has to be caught and checked. I read some stuff by an old writer, his name is John Wesley, and you know what? Some people thought he was kind of strange. They'd be talking to him and they'd say something to him, they'd ask him a question, and he'd just, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm thinking before I speak. You know what? That's something there that's so foreign. Why? Because most of us, instead of listening, we speak all the time. I know with me, my temptation is just before somebody's even got out of their mouth what they've said, I'm ready to speak. Y'all, I'm telling you, when you think about it, the Bible says every idle word will come into judgment.
That's exactly right.
Man, I get to think about that and I say, Lord, I mean, man, all the idle words. Why? Because y'all, a lot of times we just talking just to be talking.
Amen.
Just speaking just to be speaking. And what he's saying is when you're talking, whose spirit came from there? So when we're speaking, are we speaking things that's pleasing the Lord? That's something there, I believe. Man, you think about the judgment there, how many words. You know, these people talk about, oh, so-and-so drinks over here, and oh, so-and-so. Man, look, how many words have you spoken today? Never mind what they've got going on. Let God deal with them. You deal with what's coming out of your mouth, and you got enough to deal with. I got enough in my own life to deal with. And what I'm saying is, y'all, with that judgment there, that thing's going to be revealed by fire. And if you want some help with it, make sure and spend your daily time in the book. Why? Because that book will show you what's wrong so you can fix it.
Amen.
And it keeps that sin burned out. Now, back in 1 Corinthians, we'll look at some other things about this judgment as well. But I think that'd be a help to you, one, because look, it's simple enough. We can get the book out for a little while. Now, if somebody just works constantly, I could understand that being an excuse. But I don't know anybody that works 24 hours a day.
That's right.
You know, you've got time to get that book out. You know, that's like Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has a proverb per day if you want to read it, and it takes you about 10 minutes total to read a proverb. Now, I'm talking about going through it slow. Now, y'all, we can find 10 minutes. Now he says this in Revelation. I mean, not Revelation. 1 Corinthians 13. He said, "And the fire shall try every man's work." of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, what he's telling you is that, look, you've got a possibility to get rewards for the things you do. Y'all, I think that's a blessing. Why? Because if anything gets done, it's going to be Christ working in and through us. So guess what? He done the work in and through us, and he's going to give us a reward for what? Just yielding to him. Yielding to him. Why? Because anything we do is no good anyway. So we have to yield to him, and he'll give you a reward for yielding to him. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But, look at this, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And you've got a guy here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And what he has done, in verse 1, it said that he took his father's wife. That means that that he had a relationship with his stepmother. Otherwise, if it had been his mother, it said his father's wife. All right. So anyway, it's a lot of sin going on there, and of course y'all know that. But watch what Apostle Paul says in verse 5 concerning this man. He says to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of his soul in hell. No. It says the flesh. Why? Because let me tell you something. There are saved people there who live for the devil, and guess what happens there? They're going to have their flesh destroyed. How did he deliver them to Satan? They're talking about getting the guy out of church. So you know what happens? It's good for us to be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, we strengthen one another. I can tell you something. I know some of y'all sometimes be having a bad day and y'all not even know it. And y'all may say something and just, I mean, it's amazing how it's just what I needed to give me strength. And let me tell you something. You get away from that fellowship right there, and I'm going to tell you something. The devil can get your flesh. Why? He'll get to where he controls every member of your body.
That's right.
It says, watch this, though, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What he's saying is, look here, the man may, all his works may burn up, but he's still going to be saved, but his work's going to be burned up. Now, you know what you've got? There's a lot of people, and they're going to be just like Lot. Lot had such a bad testimony that Abraham's talking to the Lord about Lot, and Abraham's thinking about it, and he said, well, Lot's been down there, I don't know, around 20 years. The Lord said, well, if it's 50 down there, I won't burn it. Lot says, oh, man, maybe he witnessed to one or two people. Maybe they witnessed to one or two. He said, what about 45? Lord said, I won't destroy it for that. And you know what? He got that thing all the way down to just a few people. And guess what? Lot hadn't even witnessed. You know what happened to Lot? He got out and all his stuff burned up. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of Christians there who every bit of their works burn up. And they just got out. Y'all, that's a sad case. It doesn't have to be like that. You know what? We've got time right here. We're sitting here this morning together. And you know what we've got? We've got some time here.
Amen.
And you know what we ought to do? We ought to take the time and say, all right, if I've got a year left, a week left, however long I've got left, I'm going to pick this moment from here on and live like the Lord while I've got time. Why, there's going to come a day, y'all, when it's done. You're going to be with the Lord and you're going to be with Him. But anything else that you've done from there back, that's all done with. We got to remember that. And so, why? Because it's going to be burnt up. It's going to suffer loss. It says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You got a bunch of Christians here that's forgetting the fact that the Spirit of God dwelt in them. You know what? According to the Bible there,
that's right.
There are people there who just forget that altogether. Why? They just seared their conscience straight over. And you know what happens? They're grieved all the time and they're vexed all the time. They don't realize the Holy Spirit's grieved on the inside of them. And what's happened? They squelch that voice out there.
Amen.
And y'all, I'm going to tell you something there. And I've told you before, there's nobody more miserable than a Christian that's not fellowshipping with the Lord. That's just a bare-bone fact about the thing. He said, look here. He said in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, you know what he's saying? The context there, he's talking about flesh. He said he'll suffer loss, but it says he himself should be saved, yet so as by fire. The soul will be saved, but guess what's going to happen? The flesh can be destroyed. You take people and stuff like that, and you see what they do to their bodies. Some of them just completely damage their bodies. You know what happens? The Bible says that there are sins. Some sins carry different consequences.
That's right.
You know what? Some people have got sins that completely destroy their body. I went to school with a guy, and he dipped. What's that stuff called? Not a skull, but there's a kind of skull that it's called something. Copenhagen. And he got a place on his lip right there. And I remember me and Bo, he was out there on the field one day. And we was out on the football field. And man, he showed me that. He pulled a place down. I said, man, that looks rough, man. I said, I think you need to go to the doctor. Do you know what? That joker went to the doctor. And he had some kind of cancer in his mouth. And they had to go and cut that thing. Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. It was awful. There are some sins that carry different consequences. I'm telling you something, it'll destroy the body. And y'all, these Christians don't realize, look, yeah, you know, when you're saved, you're saved. Let me tell you this right here. God has things set into play where that sin will destroy the body. And y'all, there's nothing. Now listen here. If we go to the hospital, and you know somebody's there because they've destroyed the body, we don't need to go there and say, well, I tell you what, you know, the Lord warned you. No, that's the time there to pray with them. And say, hey, man, we're going to pray for you. Hope the Lord helps you through this thing, things like that. But the thing is to get preventative maintenance out there so they don't do the thing. That's one reason why preaching's there and things like that. Why? To keep them from getting to that place. Y'all, I tell you what, this young folk, y'all, we got to pray for them. Why? Because they've got things out there, the temptations out there now, that I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. And I tell you something, it's temptation just to destroy these bodies. Why? Because look here, if Satan can't have your soul, he'd rather take you out. He'd like to take you out early. And he don't want you to have one reward. Now look here, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world. See, you got a world to come. He's speaking of this world. Let him become a fool that he may be wise. I like that. Why? Because I tell you something. There's things that we're going to do as Christians that's foolishness to the world. But you know what? If you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ the way that you ought to serve him, in the eyes of the world, it just seems foolish. It really does. But he said, look, just let him become a fool that he may be wise. Why? Because this world, the things of this world are foolishness. You know what amazes me? It amazes me that people work hard at not working. It amazes me. There are people there, I deliver mail to, and there are people there who all day long they work at not working. It's amazing how people do. Why? It's easier just to do what's right. And they think we're fool. It's getting to the place now where, like the Bible said, evil is called good and good's called evil. It's backwards. Up is down, down is up. Boys are girls are boys. And the old people want to be young people, and the old young people want to be something. I don't even know what they're trying to be. But what I'm saying is, y'all, it's things that we're living in a world that's backwards. And what I'm saying is you're going to be a fool in this world, but not to God.
That's right.
If you want to be wise, be like the Bible says, be. For the wisdom of this world, see, it's this present evil world, is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Y'all, hey, y'all can come in. We'll wrap it up here. I'll get into that later. We'll close out. If we could, Brother John, close us out, brother.
Amen.